Good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 47. We have a chock full show today, but I just wanted to extend everybody a very happy Halloween, Samhain, whatever it is that you celebrate. As I said in the previous episode, I really don't celebrate holidays, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit. I have a lot of comments here from our new listener, Scott, so I'm going to go ahead and get to those in a few minutes. I just wanted to talk about a couple things before I get into Scott's comments, but the other day I had an interview up in Evanston with Rotary International. I talked about that last show. I didn't mention the name of the company, and the reason I'm mentioning it now is because I really don't expect to get that position. It's not that the interview went badly. It didn't really. But I got the feeling that they're looking for somebody with a little bit more computer programming experience, which I really don't have. So I would be very surprised if I actually do get a call back from them. But it's also, and maybe this is more of a problem for me than it would be for them, it's a very corporate type of atmosphere. It's suits and ties. And I am never comfortable in that kind of an environment. I like things casual. Now, I'm probably fooling myself if I think that I'm going to be able to find a job as casual as the one I just left. Now, the one I just left, I could dress however I liked. And normally it was jeans and a polo shirt. That was plenty dressy enough for that job. And that was very, very nice. I probably am not going to find an environment like that to work in easily. But that really is the sort of environment that I prefer. But again, you know, being a financial professional, you have to expect at least probably business casual. So regardless of where I end up working, I'm probably going to end up getting new clothes. But this office was incredibly fancy, just very interesting exhibits everywhere. Rotary International does a lot of work around the world doing things like polio activism. I guess they're trying to completely eradicate polio in the world. And they have a lot of good causes that they work on. So it's a good organization. We'll see if they ever get back to me. But I'm anticipating at this point that I'm probably not going to get that job. And part of it is I think I don't have all of the experience in the certain field that they're looking for. But it was all right. And we'll see. I do have some other resumes out this week, and we'll see what happens. You never know when one of these applications you make or resume you send out is going to come back to you. For example, the Rotary didn't call me back for almost a month. I actually submitted my resume for consideration before my last job ended, probably a week before my last job ended. So you never know when somebody will get back to you and want to call you in for an interview. I do also have agencies looking, and I have to get back with them in the next few days, but we'll see what happens. I'm still upbeat, still, you know, getting my resumes out there. Every day I'm sending out something, either, you know, a resume or cover letter or contacting one of the agencies or whatever. I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again right now. Every day I ask myself, did I do something today that will help me find work? And so that's sort of the motto that I ask myself every single day to keep myself from getting too lazy, because as I mentioned, I do tend to be lazy. There's something else I forgot to talk about last time, and I think I just got wound up in talking about PDR and racism and so forth. But what something that Pete and I did this past week that was fun, we went to go see. And I'm not sure how many anime fans we have listening, but I know that there's at least one or two of you out there who are interested in Japanese animation and are somewhat familiar with what I'm going to talk about. We went to the Music Box Theater, which is down in Lakeview. And we went to go see the reanimated Evangelion. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's from a TV series that was on, you know, 10 years ago at least, called Neon Genesis Evangelion. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about the story. If you're an anime fan, you know what it is. If you're not, go check it out. But what they've done now, and there's been three different versions of the story made. There was the original TV series, and the manga that came from that. I believe it was a anime before the manga was published. And then there was a redone version of it, because the ending of the first series elicited a lot of bad backlash from the fans. People just didn't like the way it ended. And so they did a remake, essentially. And they had to have a different ending, which I found slightly more satisfying, but maybe not, you know, all that successful as a story. But what they've done in Japan now is they are now remaking Evangelion, and remaking it as a series of motion pictures. And it's still the same story, essentially the same plot. And for a lot of this movie that we went to go see last week, it was almost a shot-by-shot recreation. Now, they've reanimated it, probably using the same storyboards, but they've done it in a much more technically advanced way, and it looks marvelous. It you know, it's the same characters, the same style, same story. They've changed little things here and there, which could end up paying off story-wise down the road. It's not a slavishly devoted recreation of the story, which, what would be the point of that, actually? But really a very, very interesting take on it. And there is actually another movie that has already been released, and it was already released in Japan this past year, in 2008, it has not been dubbed yet to come to America. But the name of the movie that we just saw is Evangelion 1.0. It is great. I was very pleased with the story. I was very pleased with the way they've handled this whole recreation of the story. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the sequels to this, because it's got to be probably 3 or 4 parts, at least, to actually tell the entire story. And I'm greatly looking forward to that. It was interesting. It's a beautiful, beautiful little theater. Now, Chicago has a bunch of these really, really gorgeous vintage buildings. And this Music Box Theater was obviously one that started out life as a vaudeville theater. Probably they were showing movies there as well, but they had a large proscenium stage and a large auditorium in one part of the theater. They may have done live theater there. I'm really not sure. But it is a vintage theater, so it means it's very elaborate inside. And they haven't restored it completely to its former glory. Over the years, a lot of these vintage theaters have fallen into disrepair. It's very, very expensive to refurbish these places. And there's this wonderful plaster work and so forth that you can see is kind of tattered. It's kind of chipped, and, you know, bits of the plaster work have fallen. And, you know, it's not as spectacular as it could be. But still, nonetheless, it is very impressive. And there's, I think, 3 or 4 different little theaters here. And they show art films, mainly. It's not like mainstream Hollywood fare. But things that come like Evangelion, which aren't going to be shown in multiple theaters. So, very interesting. Be interested in going back there again and seeing something else. Maybe in the big screen, because the theater that we went into was one of the side theaters, and was a fairly small space, probably 500 seats. Not a very big theater. And the seats, unfortunately, are the old-style movie seats, so they're not terribly comfortable. but it was fine for this, and I don't think that Evangelion 1.0 was more than about an hour and a half, maybe getting between an hour and a half and 2 hours. Very, very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing future installments of that. Had a message from Joe Morris the other day. I knew I talked about him last time, about him not doing his show anymore. Now, he's mentioned that he's going to finish editing the interview that we did together, and he's going to go ahead and send me that voice file. What I think I'm probably going to do with that, because I think he's editing it down to a half hour, is that I'm going to post that on the RSS feed as bonus content. I'm not going to try to make an episode of Tom Harris USA out of it, but I will post it on my RSS feed as bonus content in addition to whatever show I have coming out at that time, just a little bit of extra. And I do have a little bit more insight into why he stopped doing the show now. I'm not going to go into it. It really is kind of a combination of things, and mostly personal, that have come up in his life. And so, Joe, I wish you well, and I'm really appreciative that are going to make this interview available. But I really hope that you will participate in the show as well. And maybe now that you're not doing the show anymore, you can participate in everyone else's shows. And you can still call in to Ross's show, or still send emails to my show, or whatever you like. And I'd certainly be looking forward to hearing from you and your future efforts. All right, so moving along, I have some comments here from Scott. And some of them I'm going to play the audio for, and some of them I'm not. And the reason why is because some of them are things that I can address pretty much without having to play the entire comment for you. Scott made a comment, and he's going back to a few episodes back when I was complaining about RCN and the quality of the feed that I have, the quality of my data stream. I'm still having some trouble with that. It's been better over the last week, but it's still not what it should be. My speed is still very slow. He was saying that I could. There were actually other options. Now, one of the problems that I have with the options that are available to me here in Chicago is that there are a limited number of companies that work in the city. RCN is the only one where I can get just internet. I can go with Comcast, which I believe is also AT&T. Now, the problem is that with AT&T, you have to bundle. And it ends up being more expensive when you bundle than it is what I'm paying now. In addition, I've also heard from other people who have Comcast that it isn't the best service, and that they have some of the same problems. And Comcast in Chicago is mainly DSL. And so the speeds that they have are not as good as what RCN is offering through cable. The idea you had about the satellite, Scott mentioned that there are companies that you can actually set up a satellite dish and have a satellite connection. Well, there are a couple problems with that. One of the facts is I can't mount a satellite dish on this building because I don't own the building. I rent an apartment. That won't work for me. And the reason why it won't work for me, Scott, is because I am a gamer and I do play online games, World of Warcraft. I don't talk about it much on the show, but I do more than just web surfing and podcasting. And so that is going to be a limitation. I need a certain amount of broadband speed. And if you have a lot of latency, then it'll kind of hurt my gaming experience. I don't really talk about my online game playing much on the show. And that's because I really don't find it all that interesting as far as the show goes. I don't know how many people out there would actually like to hear me talk about that, because it really is sort of something that I think you can go too far and talk about it too much. I've often found with games, and in particular MMOs, is that they're a lot more interesting to play than they are to listen to people talk about. But if anybody actually wants to hear me talk about it, then, you know, great. I can actually insert commentary about MMOs if you like. But generally speaking, I will probably not speak about it very much. Still playing Pokemon, still finding it very interesting. It's a light game, nothing heavy about that at all. So, but I am still enjoying it, and I am getting some real use out of the DS. I took it to the interview with me the other day because I had a feeling that they might leave me waiting for a while. And in fact, they did, and I had about a half an hour to kill between my Excel test, which I did okay on. I think I got a 75%, which is pretty good, actually, because I am an intermediate user, and they had some pretty advanced stuff on there. But I did have a half hour to kill, so I was able to play Pokemon for a little bit while I was waiting to be called into my interview. And thankfully, you know, the DS is slick looking enough that it could be a BlackBerry. It could be, you know, something like that. People weren't able to look over my shoulder to see what I was doing, and see that I was playing this, kids game. But, anyway, let's move along here. Scott had a comment, and I am going to play the audio for this, and we'll chat about this in the second half of the show. So here is Scott's comment. He's talking about what I was talking about, not celebrating holidays on the last show.
Okay, you were talking about the holidays, and you don't really celebrate them that much, and people think it's because of your being an atheist, but it really isn't, and you celebrate somewhat. You know, I can understand that. I wonder if as a kid you did celebrate, and now it's just like, I think you said this, it's like too much work, right? I'm that way. I do not put up Christmas lights. I don't even want to put up a Christmas tree. And quite honestly, if I didn't have to exchange presents with my brother and sister and the family, I don't think I'd be doing that anymore either. My mother is real big on Christmas. It's very important to her. My mom is getting old very quickly, and she's in her 80s now, and she's experiencing dementia, and that's only likely to get worse. Basically, where she has a very bad short-term memory. She's very happy, however. It's actually increased her happiness because she doesn't realize that she is upset about things that she used to be upset about. She doesn't get upset about anything anymore, which is amazing. In any case, where it comes to the holidays, I've always celebrated the holidays as a kid. I loved it. I would not have enjoyed being in a family all that much that didn't, you know, that did not celebrate the holidays. I did if you go over to Snapvine and just bookmark me over there, or, you know, set up for my feed, you'll hear a comment that I made on that topic, so to speak, of honesty. How honest should we be with our kids? Should we tell them there isn't an Easter Bunny and there isn't a Santa Claus? And how honest do you want to be? Now, take a listen to that one. Maybe make some comments on that. But I'm glad. I am absolutely glad that my parents allowed me that bit of naivete, of being, you know, ignorant of the truth when I was young. It was wonderful believing in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all that while I had it. And, you know, maybe even after, you know, it stopped. It was all good. Because I had a great time. And I got to tell you, my brother is a lot like myself. He enjoyed the way we were brought up. My mother was big on Christmas. And now he got into a new thing, where he's probably the biggest, most Christmassy person in our family, and maybe in the town of Claremont. Why do I say that? Because my brother is into what I call over-the-top crazy Christmas lights. You can look up his website, which I help him out with a little bit. I helped him get the domain to try and figure out what to get. It's called ClaremontChristmasLights.com, C-L-A-R-E-M-O-N-T, ChristmasLights.com. And he has a computerized, high-tech light show that gets bigger and bigger and bigger with every year. You can look at his videos. There are other people doing it in the country, and you can find out about them on planetchristmas.com if you're really interested. They've got some real over-the-top people out there. A guy named Carson, his video went viral. It went all over the internet with what he was doing. He was well known. But my brother absolutely adores that stuff, and every year is a bigger year for him for, you know, celebrating Christmas, you might say. So, you know, it's still big in our family. And my mother still loves to have us up there, and that's going to end. I mean, I don't know when. Every year I say, man, it's getting close. And how long is it going to be before she's really not there to care? And it's getting close because, you know, she still knows who we all are. She still knows a lot of things. She just doesn't remember what she was doing yesterday or several days back. She's, to a point, living in a fantasy world. not fantasy, but in a world of the past, which would be like a fantasy world, you know. It's like she thinks that she did things the other day that she really did many years ago, and what she did the other day has long been forgotten, and that's the problem. That's what dementia does. So, but she is happy. So I keep wondering when the day will come when she's just not going to be there either physically or mentally for Christmas. And when that happens, I suspect our family may not get together on Christmas, or we may rarely get together, or we'll get together in some different way. Maybe we'll just pick a name out of a hat and buy one present, and it won't be, you know, quite as elaborate as, you know, it's been in years of past. It's getting a little less elaborate. I mean, we would go down Christmas at 9 in the morning, and my mother and father would have this Christmas tree just stacked with presents and huge stockings. We were not rich. My father, 2-year degree in draftsman, worked at Joy Manufacturing his entire career and supported a family of 5, including himself. You could never do that anymore. And we were not rich, not even close, but we did all right. So, but we used to have a great Christmas, I can tell you that. We didn't get a lot in between Christmas and the next one, maybe something for my birthday. But other than that, those two occasions I dearly looked forward to, and I don't think kids get that anymore. I know my grandkids don't have that level of appreciation for those dates, and my niece doesn't either. They're pretty spoiled compared to what I was and what our family was. But I think that was a good thing. So I don't know how you were raised. Maybe you can send me some personal files and kind of explain that. I'd be curious as to how that all works out. But anyway, I had you know, a simple upbringing, but I did have those holidays, and I'm very glad of it. And there were some very memorable moments of my life in those days that I could talk about at a later time, and I have talked about in podcasts.
And thank you very much, Scott, for your comment. Now, you can hear Scott's podcast. He does a podcast called Uncommon Sense, and you can hear that at scottpodcast.com, which is where you can also hear some of the other stuff he does, like Plain Dudes Radio, which I talked about before. There's a lot of stuff to talk about there. Gosh, you know, we did grow up celebrating holidays, and we grew up, you know, having an Easter basket, and we grew up celebrating Christmas, and it was a big family thing. And over the years, what has happened is, you know, the family has kind of drifted in opposite directions, physically drifted in opposite directions. So, for example, my siblings are spread out. I mean, my oldest brother's in Thailand, for gosh sakes. Then I have my second brother and my sister, who are both in Florida. I'm in Illinois. Mom is in Arkansas, and Dad is also in Florida. My parents have been divorced since I was very young. So we used to do a big holiday thing, and we actually have a couple different holiday things going, especially during Christmas season. We would usually do Christmas Eve at my sister's house when we were all grown up and living in Florida. And then Christmas Day we would spend with my grandmother. During the time I was married, we would usually get up very early Christmas morning and go have breakfast with my wife's parents. And growing up, we usually would have a similar thing, you know, Christmas Eve at Grandma and Grandpa's, and then we would have, you know, Christmas morning. But I'll tell you what, is that I was always very disappointed. The disconnect between the hype of the holidays and this wonderful thing that it was supposed to be and then the reality of it. Like you, we were not rich and we didn't have much. You know, we got by, but it wasn't, you know, a very extravagant life. I'm probably, you know, richer now in retrospect than, you know, my mom was when we were growing up. And I don't have as many expenses, but that's more planning than anything else. But I tell you, you know, it really doesn't mean anything to me anymore. And being away from my family means that I really have a lot less excuse to celebrate. When I was off at college, when that was only, you know, 10 years ago, I would go to my aunt and uncle's often for Christmas because they were the closest, and I would stay with them over at least part of Christmas break, and usually between Christmas and New Year's I'd be there. And it was very low-key, and we did what you mentioned, the pulling the name out of the hat. And we did that for a number of years, actually, and at first we included, you know, the immediate family, and then our aunts and uncles and cousins when we were kids. And then as we all got older, we stopped doing that, and it was just basically somebody in the immediate family that we would buy for. But the, as far as the commercial aspects of the holidays go, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me, and it hasn't for a long time. For me, it was more getting together with the family and having that excuse for everybody to gather together. Later on, when I was living with a roommate in Cleveland, we had some very good gatherings over the holidays with various friends. And this was a time when I really wasn't in very good contact with most of my family. And we would have friends, for example, had a friend who came from New York and spent the Christmas and New Year week with us. And that was actually quite nice, and there really wasn't a big, very big celebration or anything, but it was just having the four of us, my roommate and myself and Nathan and his boyfriend. And it was very nice just to have visitors. You know, they had nowhere else to go for the holidays, and we really didn't celebrate. My roommate was Hindu, and I was an atheist, so but we still had fun. It was still a good time. I hear what you're saying about dementia, and I tell you, we've been through that. My family has been through that. My grandmother, after my grandfather died, we started to notice that she was showing signs of dementia, and she was pretty good for a good number of years. She was able to live pretty independently for quite some time, and then towards the end, the last year she was alive, it was very, very bad, and she was not able to function. And I see that happening in my mom as well. And I guess it's something that we probably will all have to deal with in my family. So you have my sympathy, and I've, you know, like I said, I've seen it happen. My grandmother would go off, and she remembered a lot of things. Again, it was the day-to-day stuff was not very memorable, and so she wouldn't really remember that. But she could remember in pretty good detail going way back, going back to her childhood. And that was actually why I think I heard a lot of the stories that I did from her as an adult, because she didn't always realize, oh, this is, you know, this is my grandson. You know, she just saw, you know, another adult, and she was sharing these stories that way. And especially towards the end, and she would get very confused and about who I was. She knew I was related to her, and she knew that I was her grandson, but she didn't always realize who my mother was, and so forth. It is a burden to have to deal with it emotionally. You know, the last time I saw my grandmother was heartbreaking. I mean, she was just so awful. She died in 2003, and at that time was age 99. So she lived for a long time with dementia, 20-something years. And it just progressively got worse and worse. But at least we had a lot of good years together. And I'm going to address another point you made, and this about having enjoyed having the experience of believing in the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and so forth. And I'll tell you, I don't remember a time when I actually believed in Santa Claus. Maybe it was because I had older siblings. You know, maybe it was ruined for me when I was, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and I just don't remember it. But I don't remember believing in Santa Claus. I've always thought, you know, Santa Claus was my parents. You know, and we would get, even up until we were adults, you know, we would have presents under the tree from various family members, and then we'd have one marked from Santa. You know, and of course, it was a pretend game, and we all knew that it wasn't for real. And there's no doubt that pretending to believe in Santa or the Easter Bunny or whatever can be fun, as long as you remember that it is a pretend game and not try to convince people that it's real. Now, I would even go so far as to ask, why can't we do the same about Jesus? And with that, I'm out of time. Thanks for listening. This is Tom at Tom Harris USA signing off. Have a happy Halloween.